Hello, I'm Stephen Lazat, a.k.a. AJ Kretschmar, and you're listening to All Indie Radio. Today's special broadcast will be touching on the sensitive topic of suicide and the grieving that comes thereafter. If you're not comfortable with this, we at least thank you for your interest. There are many other great programs on this site.
Love is a verb. Love is a doing word. On my breath, gentle impulsion shakes me, makes me lighter, fearless on my breath, teardrop on the fire, fearless on my breath.
That was Dee Dutch with her very hypnotic cover of Teardrop, which was originally done by Massive Attack. Today we're chilling out and we're feeling all the feelings. Earlier this week, the YouTube community and the rest of the world took a loss. Musician and vlogger Nathan Wills took his own life for reasons we may not even be able to fathom. Today would have been his 31st birthday. I only just heard of him when he passed. And in doing my research, I've come to realize how much this man was loved and praised. He was very zen-like, and his music and vlogs reflected it so. You would have never known the inner turmoil he must have gone through. I know I have no idea. I'll be playing some of his music in tribute, with a message from Adam J. Manley, my friend, who will be accenting his music with tales of his experience with depression and suicide.
For years, I have made fighting suicide my cause. It's something that is very close to me. But in the past, I've always dealt with it from the perspective of having been to that place myself, having nearly gone down that path myself. And while I've had many friends come close to taking their life, and while I came very, very close myself, this is the first year that I can talk about it from the other side. Suicide is an issue that no one really wants to talk about. It's uncomfortable. It's painful, and no one likes to think about the idea that someone they love may be willing to do that. But it's an issue that has to be talked about, and it's an issue that needs to be covered from two sides. First, I'm going to address anyone who is considering taking their life. But bear with me, because then I'm going to address the people who have lost someone in this manner. To anyone considering giving up for any reason, I know you are sick of hearing about how life gets better, and I know how hard it is to go on. I struggle with this every day. I reached my breaking point in June of 2003. I can distinctly remember the point when I finally crossed the line and went, you know what? Giving up. Giving up would be a relief. There are a lot of things that may be going through your head. You may be thinking that you're beyond hope. You may be thinking that no one cares about you. You may even be thinking vengefully, hoping that, you know, you'll show someone by taking your life. But odds are, no matter what you're thinking, the source is a very deep pain. The pain may have a cause, or one of the worst sensations is feeling that pain and that need to give up and not even having a cause. Whatever the reasons, it seems like it's easier and better to just give up. But while you're overwhelmed with that sensation of worthlessness or helplessness or depression or whatever you think you are feeling, you are being blinded to a million amazing things. Your life is more valuable than you know. And as I discovered years after I nearly ended my own life, there are more people out there who care about you and who are impacted by your life than you can even realize. What's more, the years since I nearly ended everything have been the best years of my life. I'm not going to say that there's not going to be pain, and I'm not going to say that you're not still going to struggle with these feelings. When things get hardest, when things get to their worst, I still fight that urge to just give up. It doesn't go away. But in between those moments, that's where the magic is. It sounds cheesy, it sounds corny, but there are so many amazing things in between those moments. And that is what makes those moments worth bearing, worth fighting. Life is made of high points and low points, and they define each other. And that pain you're feeling, let me tell you, it makes the good times so much better. Feeling that pain will give you an appreciation of the good moments that other people cannot comprehend. I'm not saying it's a blessing, but if you push through it, it is worth it. I think about all of the moments that I could have missed, and all of the people that would have been hurt or would never have known me and never have been impacted by me in ways that I have been able to see just in the last few years. There's magic in between the pain, and most importantly, you are not alone. There are people out there feeling the same things you are. There are people out there who are willing to help. I'm one of them. You do not have to cope with these feelings alone. Find a friend, find a family member. If you can't find anyone, send me a message, but talk to someone. Because as obvious as your pain seems to you, the worst pains we feel, we keep deep down inside of ourselves. And unless you speak up, people who may love you dearly cannot know.
Fall into my arms. We'll fly through the clouds just for fun. The world falls on your shoulders. I'll carry the weight. We'll go to another place far away from here.
And to those of you who have already lost someone to suicide, that is a message for you as well. You can be the most observant, the most caring, the most loving friend or family member in the world, but that doesn't mean you will see the signs. I talked with my friend Ari a number of times about our mutual experiences with depression and suicidal tendencies. We talked about them, however, in the past tense, and Ari was full of life. So full of life, you would never have seen it coming. I only knew her for about a year, and in that time, I know I didn't see her during her hardest moments. And even having been to that place myself, even constantly being in that place myself, I still felt like I should have done more, even though I know better, even though I know how easy it is to hide what feels like the most obvious pain so deep down that no one outside can see it. I blamed myself. It's not easy to lose someone that way. You feel sad, but at the same time, you feel betrayed and angry that someone would leave you that way. And then you feel guilty because you feel angry at a person who's gone. But those feelings are natural. Do not feel guilty about them. Hard as it is to say, suicide is a very selfish act. When I nearly killed myself, I wasn't thinking about other people. I was thinking about myself. I was thinking about the pain I felt, and I came up with every excuse possible about how this wouldn't hurt anyone. Not my little sister, not my mother, not my friends. I came up with every excuse why it would be better for them. For those of you who are thinking those thoughts, you are lying to yourself. It will not be better for anyone. It is one of the greatest pains for someone to choose to leave your life. And for those of you who have been left, They didn't mean to cause you that pain. And the best thing you could have done, you were probably already doing. Because the best thing anyone can do is to be a friend to the best of their abilities, to care and to love to the very best of their abilities. This doesn't mean you won't still lose people. And honestly, it's going to hurt a lot more if you do that. But in the measure of a person's life, there are good moments and there are bad moments. And the most you can hope to do for another person is to fill them with as many good moments as possible. It may not be enough to balance out the pain. My friend Ari's life was full of beautiful moments. And what's more, she brought such incredible vibrancy and amazing things to other people's lives. She was one of those people who you step into a room and it instantly just comes to life. And in losing her, I and everyone that I have known who knew her we've been blaming ourselves. What if I'd called her more? What if I'd gone to see her? What if, what if, what if, what if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? None of that what if amounts to anything. If you notice the signs, great. If you notice the signs, do everything you can. And if someone you know chooses to take their own life, don't think you didn't do enough. Because you did. You did everything you could. The choice is ultimately in their hands. And those of you who feel that gnawing urge to just give up and embrace oblivion, you need to understand how much you matter. You need to understand how much the people you love and the whole freaking world loses when you choose to leave us. And you need to understand how much you will be missing, because I promise you, there is something out there that is worth fighting for. You are worth fighting for. You have friends that you probably aren't even aware of. You have people whose lives you impact every day, and you have such amazing moments of joy in your future. It doesn't matter what religion you are or what beliefs in the afterlife you have. What we've got here in this life, whether there is or isn't anything beyond, what we've got here is something spectacular. Don't give it up without a fight. And don't think that you need to fight alone. Life can be hard, and it can wear you down, but you are never, ever alone. You may think you are, but you are not. Again, if you're thinking about killing yourself, please ask for help. And if you know someone who has chosen to end their life, please know it is not your fault. I say all these things not as any kind of professional or expert, but as someone who has been on both sides of this issue. To that end, again, reminding you that I am not any kind of professional expert. If you are impacted by this issue in any manner, if you are impacted by the death of a loved one through suicide, or if you are considering it yourself, if you need someone to talk to, send me a message. My YouTube inbox is open to all, and I do check it. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Fare thee well.
You can message Adam on YouTube at youtube.com/AdamTheAlien. Here's JB Dazin with a song from his debut album, Home, on DFTBA Records. It's Drops in the Sink.
Drip, drip, drip goes the water in the sink. I want to feel you're really here. Tick, tick, tick go the seconds on the clock. I want to feel you're really near, so we can count the clouds on my ceiling. can drift away on that feeling. Click, 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 all the neighbors on the floor. I want to feel you're really here. Rush, 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 go the tubes of the heating. I want to feel you're really near. So we can shout the trains and talk in pictures and wipe the dust away from those pictures of hope, black and white, and the thumbprints of old, the flickering light of the satellite snow. Flick away, turn the page, tell me show. For tonight, I've got nowhere to go.
That I never got to know Nathan while he was still alive. He sounded like someone I'd be friends with. Here's a few words from people who knew him much better than I.
I first heard about Nathan a couple of years ago when me and another YouTuber, NSG Music, we did a little sketch sort of thing or something like that. We did something together, and Nathan heard about me, and I heard about Nathan, and I thought I'd check out Nathan's channel. And I loved the music he was doing because he was a music composer. And then a little while later, he got into vlogging, and we started to have little chats. And he was a really, really good, really good bloke. Really, so nice. Really respectful in that, and that's one thing I really liked about with Nathan. And we got a chance though to meet in Bristol 2011, a gathering that was organized by Absolute Twaddle, which was absolutely was amazing. It was in College Green. I remember we were tweeting each other about where were we and that, you know, he was trying to find me and that. But we did find each other though in the end, and it was great. We met at College Green and we gave a really good hug. Even Sarah recorded it as part of a vlog, which was really cool, our first ever encounter, which was amazing. And you know, I might look back at that video and go, wow, I'm gonna miss Nathan, definitely, for real. And we just met, and he was such a good bloke, you know. We had a little chat and he was just really awesome. And I also met Sarah for the first time as well. A really awesome guy he was, and that. And I met him again around about 7 weeks ago when I held my final ever Bath YouTube gathering, and he was still full of life, but he was so polite, very, very respectful in that, and you know, he was such fun in that. It was really cool. And when I heard what had actually happened, it, like a lot of people, it really shocked me. Nathan was just one of a kind, really. He was someone there that, he was a brilliant musician, great vlogger, and a good friend to a lot of people. Someone who had a real passion. Nathan, I'm glad I met you. My condolences go out to his family, his friend, and of course Sarah as well, like I said. And that's it. We miss you, Nathan. Hope to see you on the other side.
I'm in shock. I he is going to be a person who is such a cool member of the community, especially here in the Southwest. He's going to be so missed. He was so very much loved by us all. I loved watching his videos. I loved his passion for making music, and I first got to meet him properly at the Bristol Gathering last year, and I remember seeing him up on College Green with Sarah and meeting him for the first time, and then I saw him again at YouTube Stars. He came to both the Bath and Bristol Gathering this year. And he helped organise the Super Somerset Gathering, which was one of the most fun gatherings I've been to. But the Bath one was the last time I saw him. And the last time I got to give him a proper hug. And I'm just so shocked to think such a lovely friend has gone, and my thoughts are with the family, friends, everyone. I think a lot of people are just going to be pleased today. I obviously never saw it coming. I know him as a friend, I know him as a YouTuber. I obviously don't know his life, and I never knew what was going on or if there was anything, and I guess I feel a little bit like I wish I could have been there to help. Nathan, we all loved you so very much, still do, and you are going to be missed so much.
He was such a positive person. If you knew him, he was just a joy to be around. His happiness was infectious. It was as soon as you was around him, you would instantly feel happy because he was so positive all the time. And he really had a great impact on me. A true inspiration. One of my biggest idols. And if it wasn't for people like Nathan, then I wouldn't be making these videos. I wouldn't have the confidence, because he taught me a great deal of confidence. He was a really good friend, and I've shared some amazing experiences with him. But I just know that he'd want us to be happy, because he was so positive all the time. And he always just wanted to inspire people. He was always interested in people. He wanted to talk to people. He was just such a kind and gentle person. I just think if we try and learn from him and manifest that kind gentleness that he always showed around people, he would never hurt a fly. He was just such the kindest person. If we learn from that, then the world would be a better place.
It is snowing around me. Now, one thing that snow always gets me thinking about is life and death. I think snow is the perfect backdrop for thinking about and talking about this kind of thing, because it's like life and death and beauty and all that stereotypical kind of stuff. But I've been thinking about life and death lately for a lot more reasons than just the weather. It's kind of been on my mind for a few months. It started on December 17th, the day after my 26th birthday and the day of YouTube's Project for Awesome. That was the day that I found out that my friend and in some ways mentor in Tacoma and former boss on my delivery job, Christian, had died. He had died right around Thanksgiving, but I hadn't heard until that day. I received a phone call from a mutual friend, and as soon as I hung up, I broke down crying. Later that month, just before Christmas, one of my former co-workers at the church that I used to run sound for, and one of the people who made me feel most welcome there, passed away as well. And then last month, the one that hit me hardest, my Uncle Brian, my dad's youngest brother, died very suddenly of a heart attack. He was on his way home from working at the weight room at the local high school. The last thing he did before he died on the side of the road was write an incomplete text message to my aunt. It said, "I love," and then a Y. So the circle of life has kind of been on my mind lately. I have been trying for about a month now to collect myself enough to talk about this without breaking down into tears. Because something that really struck me about all this is not that there's been a lot of death lately, but that I've really been seeing a lot of both sides of the equation. You see, in January, I found out that my cousin Aaron and his wife were pregnant with their first child. Also in January, my friend Bobby and his girlfriend gave birth to a beautiful baby girl named Pixel Meadow Jones. And on the way to my Uncle Brian's memorial service, I found out that my cousin Kyle and his wife were pregnant with their third child. So there have been a lot of beginnings and endings recently, if you can even call anything in life a beginning or an ending, because in life, there are no beginnings or endings. You send out ripples and the story continues. Your story started before you were born, and it will continue long after you are gone. These last few years of my Uncle Brian's life aptly demonstrated that. Most of my memories of my uncle are from family reunions as a kid, when everything seemed bright and wonderful and everybody was laughing. But it would be lying to say that my uncle's life was perfect. Brian struggled with alcoholism and post-traumatic stress disorder. He and my aunt split up for a while. But in the end, he went out on top. His life was going well. He and my aunt have been together again for a while, and he has been sober. Heavily involved in the community, and especially with the local students, he had even become the assistant coach at the local high school. And at his very hastily planned memorial service, mere days after he died, there were about 300 people in attendance. And it was at that memorial service that I got to see a side of my uncle I had not even realized was there. He made an impact, a very good impact. What struck me at the memorial service was not how he was talked about by us, his family, or even how friends who knew him referred to him as a brother or a twin of sorts. What struck me was how many of the students referred to him as the father they never had, or a second father, or even Superman. It was the Superman comments that struck me the most, because I know that feeling. When my Grandma Doris was slowly dying, I started to realize that she was more to me than a grandmother, or even a second mother, or even my hero. She was my Superman. She was invincible. Nothing could ever strike her down. And my Uncle Brian was the same way. He seemed to be one of those people that would just go on forever. So when my older sister showed up at my house to tell me that he was gone, I didn't believe it. I barely started to believe it, even when I was at the memorial service trying to comprehend that someone who was alive just not too long ago when I saw him last could be just gone. Bam, boom, no warning signs. But he's not gone. Neither is my Grandma Doris, or my friends, or anyone else who I have known who has died. Believe what you will religiously, I am not talking here about whether or not an afterlife exists. What I am talking about are ripples. What I am talking about is the whole point of being here and of interacting with people and loving, because these people who we have lost have impacted us, and more people than we will ever know have been impacted by them as well, directly and indirectly. And in that way, they do last forever. In that way, they are Superman, because the impact they made will live on and impact more and more people who may never even know their name. I recently finished reading Shadow of the Hegemon by Orson Scott Card, and one quote in particular, especially given what has been going on lately, struck me. It's a section of the book in which the main character, Bean, is talking to the mother of Ender Wiggin, and he is questioning why she is so adamant that people should go and love and have kids and what have you, because it has brought her nothing but grief. And so he says, "Where's the joy? That's what I'm not getting." And here is the quote that really gets to me. "The grief is the joy," said Mrs. Wiggin. "I have someone to grieve for. Whom do you have?" I read that, thinking about my uncle and my friends and everyone else I've known who has died, and it gave me chills. Because sometimes it does feel like too much. You get close to people, and it brings nothing but pain, because we want to focus on the pain. It's hard not to. It hurts. Pain hurts. But pain, grief, is defined by joy. You can't have one without the other. I could curse and swear at God or the universe or what have you for taking these people away from me and hurting me. But in the end, I am hurting because all I can remember about my uncle is his laughing. Whenever I think of him, I see him laughing or mugging for the camera, being happy. And as much as it hurts to remember that and realize that I'm not going to see that again on this plane of existence, it's still here. It's still here in me and in everyone he has touched. The circle of life continues. The day after his memorial service, my uncle's oldest daughter, Brianne, celebrated her 20th birthday. Her father's story continues in her and his other kids, in all of the kids that thought of him as a father figure. It continues in the legacy of the stories he has left behind. It continues in me, and through me, it continues into my friends, and through my friends, it continues into their friends and their family, and into Bobby's daughter, Pixel. The old quote is, "No man is an island." The rest of that quote goes on to talk about how people are diminished when a person is gone. But it's not true, because they're never gone. The story just continues on and on and on. The circle continues. Grief continues. But through that circle of grief, life, joy. The circle of life is grief. It's been a long time since I've been able to go any good stretch of time without someone I knew and loved dying. And every time it hurts. But I have someone to grieve for. Fare thee well. Fare thee very, very well. Go live your story. Go and find what you have to grieve for.
A few years ago, holiday 2009, I was out of a job for nearly a year. I had to move out of my apartment and move back in with my parents. The new year was fast approaching. I thought about my friends moving on in their lives. They have families and houses of their own now. I thought of where my life was and where it could have been. I was jobless, alone. I was a failure. I felt that I was not worthy of existence. This was my lowest point. I seriously considered walking down to the bridge and just taking a dive into the river. It was nice and shallow. Should I have survived, I would have welcomed the pain as punishment for living my life so passively. I wasn't thinking of anyone else at that moment. It was just me and how I felt and how I wanted to deal with my feelings. I knew I needed help. Calling my best friend, I wanted to hear that my life wasn't a waste and that there was a future for me. Some kind of future, anything. Then he told me the best piece of advice I've ever heard. He said, "Steven, as long as you're alive, as long as there is a single breath in your body, you can change things. You can turn your life around. Keep trying, and eventually good things will come your way." So I stuck it out, and I'm very thankful that I did. Eventually, I was able to get a job and move out and start making a community for myself. So my advice to anybody out there, it's never too late. It's never too late to turn your life around. I would like to thank everybody for listening to today's show. I didn't make it to bring you down or ruin your day. I made it to remind everyone that though we may feel insignificant, what we do here and now, whatever that may be, will drop in the sink of life and ripple outward, impacting the people we are in contact with, not just every day, but even those singular moments, like the ones that you've heard about. Closing us out is a man who passed away shortly after his album, The Wind, was released in 2003. Having terminal cancer, he knew his time was limited, and thus closed his career with this swan song. He may not be an independent musician, but I only recently discovered him. This is Warren Zevon, "Keep Me in Your Heart."
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts, take me to your dreams, touch me as I'm falling to you. split, and I will be right next to you. Engine drivers headed north to Pleasant Street. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while.